Look, what we're saying is that Candice LeRae is the smartest person in the feud between Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. It's that simple. We're going to be talking about that as well as a pretty good 205 Live. All of this and more right now. Boy, let's get started.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I wanted it to cut directly, so I did. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the NXT After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. We're your hosts, the NXT team. I'm Mark Budonica. That's the hobo. That's Bill Hanstock. Man, what a solid but what a
solid
H. It's for hobo.
Yeah.
That's a U.
An H.
No, this is a U.
Yeah,
it's undisputed era.
It's like the Hardy Boys H.
Solid.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
It's not. It's a very solid H. It's not wobbly at all. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Didn't realize they really got so much inspiration from Tarzan until just this moment. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense.
Oh, man.
Never saw it before.
We're it's gonna be a fun one today, everybody. Fast and loose.
Yep.
Fast and loose.
I don't know anybody's name, so it's going to be a great show.
Like your mother, Trebek.
Damn it. That's therapists.
Started with a bloody S.
Shaver. Damn. Oh, man. Hi, everybody. We're still here. For a second, I thought we weren't live until somebody went, howdy, guys. And they went, oh, okay.
And canceled.
Thank you for having us. Kevin Undergaro, Marie Menounos, big fans, real big shoe. Let's talk about some 205 Live, y'all. The internet was messing up for me on this because I saw Gulak come out and then I saw Kendrick's music hit, but it didn't load him coming out from behind. And so I was like, oh, my notes, it's going to be Drew Gulak versus Brian Kendrick. Nope. Move forward. What's Grand Metalik doing in the ring? Whatever.
What's
let's
happening?
Go back. Back to one, everybody.
Why is Brian Kendrick dressed as Grand Metalik?
Grand Metallica.
Yeah, Grand Metallica. First album was really good, but they got a little corporate.
But especially coming from Jack Gallagher, yeah. That made it hit even more.
And then he called Lindsay Dorado Puss in Boots. And he called Kalisto's.
Hey, guys, I really like that nickname.
Cyclope.
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 Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no, I think that was Kendrick that said Cyclope.
It was Kendrick. It was Kendrick.
Yes. And he also called the commissioner of 205 Jake Maverick.
That's good.
They're not only are they a great team in the ring, they're a great team on the mic as well. Barely letting anybody talk.
Gallagher, well, that's the thing, is Gallagher and Kendrick were so good, and thank God it was those two making it a five-person booth.
Good Lord.
Because at the beginning, it was very untenable. It was like, when it first started with the five-man booth, I was like, I can't. But then it just became like Kendrick and Gallagher like doing their thing with like Nigel McGuinness being like full heel in support of them, and then it was fine.
At least everybody has a distinct voice. So one thing that I'm like, okay, this is, you can do this. Maybe they're talking over each other a little bit, but everybody's voice is distinct enough that you can go, this person's talking, no, this person's talking, and this person's talking. So if everybody sounds the same, it just is just one tone cacophony of white noise, just white noise.
Yeah. That's like if you only listen to our podcast, and you don't watch the stream, it just sounds like three beards waggling in the breeze.
Exactly. I mean,
yeah, that's the sound of the beard.
People don't like my voice, but you know it when you hear it, right?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Shout out to our audio listeners.
It's like pornography.
It is like pornography.
I can't define it, but I know it when I see it.
Yeah.
Hobo's voice.
Yeah, I know it when I see it. He's got a voice so jarring, you can see it in thin air.
Actually, on some episodes, you can actually taste it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like cigarettes and instant coffee.
You can definitely smell it.
It's
oh,
like
man.
A raccoon's butt.
Speaking of a raccoon, no.
Mm-hmm. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys, it's me, Puss in Boots. I like that nickname, Brian. Thanks.
Did somebody lose a noise maker?
How they were trying to do the clap.
I love that Metalik like just can't get the mechanics of the noisemaker down at any point. It's always like, it's like, ah!
I think that's why they have him wrestling more now, is so that he doesn't have to do it.
It's like he's the most coordinated man you'll ever meet, except when it comes to twirling and
rhythm.
Right, yeah.
He doesn't have the rhythm to keep it.
No rhythm, but all the balance.
Yeah, so what I took away from this episode of 205 Live was Grandma Talik rules.
Dude.
And Tommy and Tazaz should probably just wrestle each other every week.
Probably.
Metalik blew my mind a couple of times with this. They call him the King of the Ropes, and it's usually we see him do like, oh, that's cool.
And it's not just because he's super into BDSM.
No. It's because the man, he took the time to go from the top rope to the middle rope and do a springboard, which floored me. I was like, no, expletive you, Mr.
Yeah.
Metalik.
Yeah.
How dare.
Jumping out of the way of the baseball slide straight into a springboard moonsault.
Yep. And he almost, like, he keeps it so tight with his moonsault. He doesn't overshoot them. He can always land directly on top of them no matter where they are. He has got almost completely perfect control.
Mm-hmm. Metalik's grand day out.
He's, I always thought he was the best of the luchadors, personally, and he just proves it sort of week in and week out. The only thing I would say is some of his movements in ring, like the in between stuff,
transitional
stuff, work, yeah. But past that, I mean, his really showy stuff is super showy in comparison to everybody else. And I mean, Drew Gulak is just Drew Gulak.
Yeah,
he's just gnarly and ugly and mean, and it's a pleasure to see that type of thing in the ring against a luchador, because the luchadors are very, very fun, sort of, they have great movement, very, very good with the flow, but then Drew Gulak completely will cut you down, and
he'll
take advantage, and choke you, and hurt you, and just be mean, and there was a moment where Grand Metalik was down in the corner, and they were trying to cheer for him, and they were doing the noisemakers in his face, and to me, that's just like mocking him.
Just, you don't
I know, I'm trying to get up. Did you not see me just get hit? No, oh, I know.
That
I know.
Sucked. Stop it, for the love of God. Oh, boy. Bradley Tucker in chat says... says, best AfterBuzz show, to which I respond, clearly you haven't been watching very long. try something else, really. I mean, stick around.
Xbox 1, 2, 3, 60
show.
Yeah. Would like some of your attention.
Yes, they would, please.
I mean, I guess, like,
we had Ric Flair in chat today.
Wow.
That was pretty great.
Ric Flair in
chat? Yeah.
In chat?
We could tell because it had the blue check mark.
Okay.
Yeah.
Weird.
Huh. Definitely Ric Flair himself.
Definitely Ric Flair himself.
Definitely.
And was he just typing woo every like 13 minutes?
Solid woo. either way.
I give this 3.5 woos.
it's a woo with 5 O's. Mm.
Ooh. 5 O's. Not 4.
Not a whoa.
5 O.
Not a woo. But a woo!
Whoa.
Speaking of woos, everybody should be watching Camp WWE on the WWE Network, because Ric Flair is a great part of it.
Whoa.
And it's really hard not to hear that promo and not think of, like, Cassius Ohno. Not go right into Cassius Ohno's thing. Well, I would love to see...
I find it pretty easy not to think about Cassius.
Well, no, I'd like to see how Cassius Ohno would look on Camp WWE.
You know who else does the people who put NXT together? What's up? We love you, Cassius.
Well.
Cashy.
Kid Cassius.
Okay, I finally, so you know there's like an issue of like there's no Cassius Ohno merch because like all of his stuff that he wears is like a knockoff of, it's like a parody of a sports team or something.
It's like a pro wrestling.
I noticed.
So yeah. So here's something that they can sell. Cassius Ohno cashews.
Cassius Ohno?
Mm-hmm. Or just Cassius cashews. Cassius cashews can.
Is this a can of Cassius cashews?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I'd eat them.
Is he going to have a match with Mr. Peanut now? I think he has to fight Mr. Peanut.
Mm. Who would be Mr. Peanut in the current NXT roster?
Guys, Kona Reeves.
Okay.
definitely Mr. Peanut.
It's already Mr. Peanut.
King Macadamia.
He's just a pair of magenta trunks away from Mr. Peanut. If he takes them off... completely genitalless but very wrinkly, just like Mr. Peanut.
No, you just stretch him over his skin on the underside. It's got his glasses on it, and he puts a top hat to lock it in place.
Well, his skin is dimpled like a golf ball, so.
We lost the homeless one.
I think this is the first time I've ever caused.
Baba? No. You've been.
It's just all of the imagery. I can see it so perfectly. You don't put a top hat on that generally.
Kona, if you're looking for an idea for your first piece of merch, Kona Reeves, the finest. And on the bat, completely genitalless.
WWE's Ken doll.
Because it's 2018, so it's not an insult or a questioning of your masculinity or anything. It's simply you're owning the state of your own body.
Yeah.
It's forward-thinking body positivity.
Rough, wrinkly, and completely genitalless, Conor Reeves. The finest. The finest skin. The finest lack of genitals. You know what we need to put on the soundboard is the Dick House, like, chimes and then rooster.
Yeah.
Also Stupid Monkey from Jimmy Neutron. Yeah.
I'm Paul.
For every time Triple H does something noteworthy.
I'm Paul.
I'm Paul.
So anyway, Drew Gulak and Grand Metalik was a great match.
I'm too old to get that reference.
Yeah.
That's okay. I never watched the show, but I do know that.
It's a monkey with
three eyes.
Whenever it would lead into the next show, you would always see the I'm Paul. And then it would go on from
never
there.
Never watched Jimmy Neutron, but that I've seen.
Yeah. Hmm. So in preparation for today's show, I was like, oh, maybe I'll just watch the highlights because we were running low on time. The studio was occupied at the time.
And you said, no.
Well, no, because I was looking on WWE's YouTube page, and they had two highlights for 205 Live, which was Drew Gulak and Grand Metalik, as well as Hideo and Akira Tozawa. And so I went, oh, there's only two matches. This should be fine. This should be great. We'll finish the show in time. Maybe there's some talking. And then,
as far as I'm concerned, there were only two matches.
Because the second match on the card was it was TJP versus, I usually delete stuff as it happens, so I looked at the top. Chris Guy. Not Chris Gaines, Chris Guy.
I'm not sure. Guy, buddy.
Oh, if only it had been Chris Gaines.
If only it had been Chris Gaines, I would have been all about it. You don't know, Steve, you don't have to be secret. Yeah, Steve's fixing a shot for us.
Yeah, hi. Say hi to Steve, folks.
Steve keeps edging me, but not in a stupid name. Steve puts up with a lot of our bullshit.
Hobo keeps edging me, but not in the way he normally does off screen.
I'm just spreading out. Yeah. This is man spreading.
He's man spreading. He's hobo spreading underneath the table. Mm.
Ow, cramp.
TJP versus Christopher Guy. Really uneventful. Chris Guy. I wanted to see a lot of Chris Guy, but we didn't. What we did see of him was like, ah, cool. And then TJP happened. Mm-hmm. What is next for TJP that they're trying to give him a bunch of enhancement?
They're giving him the story of like he wants to reestablish himself as the premier player in 205 Live. Mm-hmm. So he defeats another enhancement talent without breaking a sweat or without breathing hard when the match is over. and sort of just reestablishes himself as like a world-class prick who thinks he's better than everyone else. So it's not the standard like work your way up from the bottom babyface route of like I need to prove myself that I deserve to be here. It's his method of proving himself is being cocky and not facing legitimate competition in the eyes of many.
Yeah.
So he's presenting himself as, look how hard I'm working, guys. Look how hard I am. Yeah. Maybe look how rock hard I am.
He could just beat up more Chikara guys. Next he's going to beat up Jarvis Cottonbelly.
I'm done with it.
No.
I wouldn't be the first. By the way, I don't think we've discussed this on this show, but I'm very happy that 3.0 got another chance recently when they were in Montreal to get destroyed by the Authors of Pain, and they get like the most amazing WWE.com exclusive on the YouTube of them just speaking French and being very, very confident but also very concussed about their loss to Authors of Pain.
Yeah,
why aren't they signed yet? I mean, Lord,
I think it's a matter of time.
Hey, man, they're weird with how they conduct their business. They just signed Wrestle Dad number 2. Mm-hmm. He's been on and off with the company for
so long.
I think it's 5 years.
It's ducks in a row of trying to get enough talent for the brands that they're trying to go for. And if they're if now's the time that they're finally pulling the trigger on the WWE UK or the NXT UK, which I think it should be called, then they need
NXTuck.
NXTucky. They need the talent. Yeah. So once we get that taken care of, we've got a lot of tag, or we've got enough, quote, enough tag teams in NXT. We've got tag teams in 205. If they call up more people for that rumored tag titles in 205 Live, then maybe it's time to start 2K. Maybe it's time to that's your cover boys for 2K19.
Tucker Knight on the cover of
2K19. Oh man, but.
Exactly.
TJP. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, he's,
that's the right sound to make.
So main event.
Also, I want to say that his post-match interview with Charlie Caruso starts with her saying, "So you've been making a lot of comments that have been getting people angry on social media." And I was like,
accurate.
For years.
Yep. Accurate.
It's not a just. It's a continuing saga.
Guys, take it from TJP. He's experienced much more misandry than misogyny in his lifetime.
Yeah.
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 He's the victim.
He sure is.
Sharkosaur says he's like a crappier, slimier Dolph Ziggler. and just for the record, he doesn't say crappier. I've already used our one.
Dang it.
Poopier.
Poopier.
That's what the P stands for. TJ Poopier.
Yeah,
you're in a really good mood today.
Is that what you call a bathroom attendant?
Yes.
In a casino, at least.
Yes, be sure to tip not, your poupier, folks.
The croupier is at the craps table. The croupier is in the restroom.
Hold on.
And he also says craps.
Hold on. Yes.
Shout out again to Bradley Tucker, who, I will remind, said... This is the best AfterBuzz show.
Anyway,
Hideo Itami versus Akira Tozawa as our main event for 205 Live.
It was amazing.
Wow.
Amazing.
They went 20 minutes.
So good.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I loved it so much.
A lot of, to steal a phrase, action-packed action, that, if I wasn't looking at the bar, the time, if I wasn't looking at the timeline... then I would have I wouldn't have known that's not the end, because like this is the main event, this is the last thing, this is going to take up the rest of the time. They already did the spot for Blake and for Cedric building up to the title match next week, so what's going to go in the place after this? But it's one of the drawbacks of the digital era of being like, oh well, the show's going to be done soon.
Why were you looking at the timeline?
It was just up.
Why?
I don't know.
All right,
technology. Cool. Oh.
But
what did y'all think of this match?
I thought it was amazing, as I've said several times. But the only thing I didn't like about this match is Hideo Itami's new finisher is garbage. Just let him have the go to sleep, dude. Like, I'm sure both him and Kendrick couldn't agree that was a freak accident. Nope. Okay, then they can't agree. He's done the go to sleep. He's only injured like six people with the go to sleep. I mean,
six.
AJ
out
Styles
of six.
Still does the Styles Clash. He almost murdered Roderick Strong.
And
it wasn't his fault.
And Yoshitatsu.
Right.
And it wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of a general consensus. It becomes democracy. If enough guys get hurt with a guy's finisher, they can all vote to say he can't have that anymore. That's just democracy in action.
Did CM Punk ever injure anyone with it? No.
Not that I'm aware.
Yeah.
Maybe
he also
one
wasn't
person.
Able to hit it on everyone.
Yeah. Right. But it's also sort of a thing of it could have been a super freak accident and not the Lars Sullivan move. Where it could have just been the two out of 100 times that it wasn't good.
I think.
Well, how about this? Here's this.
I'm trying to measure what
even if it was his fault, or even if it is a move that's too dangerous for him to use, give him anything but what he's doing right now. Like, he's Kenta. He's a Hideo Itami. He can do anything.
I don't have a reason not to like it. This was my first time seeing it, noticing it, analyzing it as much as I could, there wasn't anything in particular I didn't like about it. What is it that is drawing you away from it?
It's too convoluted, especially for a guy like Hideo Itami.
Big setup.
Yeah, like he starts in the Dragon Sleeper setup and then like Shake Rattle and rolls him over into a knee to the face. That's one thing I don't like about it, is that for everything that Hideo Itami is, he's not a convoluted setup guy. Mm-hmm. It's not part of any aspect of his character that's ever existed.
Okay.
It's way too involved a move for Hideo Itami to be using. That's my first big problem with it. My second big problem with it is that it ends in him bringing someone into his knee. It's basically just a different version of the Riot Kick, which already also has... The Riot Kick is a version of the Disaster Kick, and it's a version, and so Tommy as a finisher is a version of the Riot Kick, and so many people in NXT and WWE now have a strike as their finisher, which we'll get into now.
Yeah.
Sonya Deville has a strike as a finisher. Asuka has a secondary or tertiary finisher that's a strike.
Lacey Evans.
Mojo Rawley's got a strike. Lacey Evans got a strike. There are so, like,
Dakota Kai.
Nikki Bella has the forearm smash.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many wrestlers that, like, they don't trust enough to give a finisher, or they think that finishers are too samey or not realistic enough, so they just give them a version of a strike. And yes, that works for Hideo Itami more than any of these other people, way more than TJP, way more than Ruby Riott. As much as I love Ruby Riott, I think she can have a better finisher than the Riott Kick. Mm-hmm. Hideo Itami, if he's going to have a strike, it's going to be like the Black Mass. It's going to, and there's another person who has a strike.
Yeah.
As a
good point.
It should be something like that, where it's fast and it's brutal. It's
Come
not convoluted. It doesn't take three different motions to do.
Hard, fast,
it doesn't
and quick.
Involve. And also, Itami's new finisher involves him going into a prone, vulnerable position to deliver the move,
yeah,
which is also not back. Something in Itami.
Because somebody big enough can just put their hand out and pin him.
I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense, like, physics-wise, it doesn't make any sense, but it especially doesn't make any sense for Itami.
I really like the variety of discussion that we have on this show. Our discourse varies, but it's also it's one of those things where, like, we have especially Bill and Hobo, like the pedigree of being able to talk about this. quickly, succinctly, and straight to the point, to where we have enough time for DD jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about doing the show with y'all.
We're not dumb. We just get bored.
If you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough.
It's like having ADD.
We're not dumb. We just want to be entertaining.
Yeah. Right. This is all for making Steve laugh.
Right.
Like, that's one of my goals, is making sure that our engineers
laughed at us
laugh.
Once. You know who really hates us is the other Steve.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because he plays sound effects to drown us out.
Like,
yes.
How many rim shots?
Respectfully, Steve, not you. Yeah, respectfully.
Yeah. Right.
You are respectfully the other one.
You're our favorite.
So really quick. Not going to lie, that scared me a little bit. Because I was like about to...
I was playing Until Dawn, and I was like, I'm playing it in the daytime, and like it's just nothing's gonna. I was like, I'm so stupidly scared. There's this can of spray deodorant, I'll just reach in and.
Oh, well, that sounds like fun. Yeah. When we know that you want to have fun, learn and grow in all areas of your life. So, for those of you, we've got the podcast just for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister that you've always wanted. So just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for absolutely free. Be sure to rate, comment, and when you do, let Maria know that it was us, the hashtag NX team, that sent you there. That's Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. Check it out. Over there. So let's get to NXT, which starts out with the heavy machinery tucking.
And also Jonathan Coachman in the audience, who was a
These are my guys. These are my guys.
These are my guys. Authors of Pain. Love these guys.
I love the Occam and Razor.
Love them.
Occam's Razor. I just love got them. It. Right now. I just got it. These are my guys.
Shout out to the podcast listeners.
Shout out to the podcast listeners. Yeah.
I love you, Steve. And then TM61 comes out.
With the church and the steeple. And then
Jonathan Coachman's like, love these guys. These guys are great, too. Love these guys.
These are my guys.
Undisputed Era, guys. These guys are great.
Ah, Kyle the Fish, I love him.
Also, I also want to point out that the new TM61 word mark on the Titantron looks like it says, I'm bi, which is great.
Respectful.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Following in the footsteps of Finn Balor, Balor Club is for everyone. Mm-hmm. The mighty don't kneel, unless you want to. Was that
it's up
too
to you.
Far?
It's up to you. No.
No, it was just unexpected.
It was perfect.
My point is celebrate who you are no matter who you are.
Yeah, hold them legs down. Heavy Machinery, it's just so much fun every time they're in the ring. And they're both really good hot tags.
This is the longest match Heavy Machinery's had in like 4 months.
Like, despite being against other giants that presumably everybody would go.
And their most competitive match they've had in a super long time, and they only lost because of chicanery.
Yeah.
Chicanery.
Anyway. Sharkasaur. Okay, the Otis moment of the week we need to talk about is when he hit a move, and instead of his usual taunt, he looked coyly at the camera and went, I'm a bad Will boy.
Also, him drying himself off with Team 6-1's jersey before going for the Vader bomb, which he never hit.
Nope, he didn't. He got kicked in the face.
And then he got sexy rolled widow, up, baby. And then some quasi-assisted feet on the ropes.
Oh, man. But here's the strategy that I don't get. So he's wiping himself off with the towel, and I don't know who it was from TM61, but they push him down. His partner's still down there, and there's a giant man that could you better get out of the way, dude. Because he was just like, you know what? I hate this guy. Like, that could also, I mean, they're not going to break up, but for the eventual breakup, right. That's the move, which is like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that's like a fatal four-way or triple threat match kind of tactic. I want to throw this guy at this other guy.
On the other guy, yeah. Screw it. None of your own teammate.
Good luck surviving this, jerk off.
After Buzz cares. But TM61 does get the victory with some chicanerous intent.
Feet on the ropes and a man holding the feet on the ropes.
Yeah.
Just like they did last time. So that removes all doubt about the intent.
Well, it's also like, if you're going to pin
Dozovich, someone of that girth,
you might need somebody to help you. Yeah.
He's a big boy.
A lot of big man matches in this NXT.
We're all about the extra beef.
I love big man.
Yeah, yeah. Bacon's extra.
I love big men.
Yeah. I love all big men. But what's next for TM61? Like, we were talking last week,
probably,
and we'll talk again in a minute.
Dick moves.
About
I love that Seeger song.
Yeah. Working on my dick moves.
And we've already been canceled, so don't worry.
Steps one. Cut a hole in the box.
But does TM61, despite winning with chicanerous intent, do they have a claim to number one contendership?
Not yet.
Not yet?
No, they're not there.
But more so than 1E and 2E?
No.
Okay. Hell no.
Because 1E and 2E pinned the tag champs.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think that if TM61 keeps this up, they're liable to get a talking to from one William Regal.
Mm. What's he going to say? Good job. Now stop it.
Knock it off.
I mean, he has done some bad stuff.
You want to know what's a really bad idea? A no ropes match so they can't post up on the ropes.
That is a bad idea.
It's a very bad idea.
Actually, that would be pretty fun.
It's a bad idea.
It's kind of a good bad idea.
It would have to be on a very big scale. It's not like you against the Ely brothers in a no ropes match. Like, no, if it's
No. I want to see him against Heavy Machinery.
No ropes match. Oh God,
that would be friggin' great.
Horrifying.
Oh,
that in a tornado tag,
that ring
no
just
ropes
falls
match
apart immediately.
Oh, I would love that.
Pepsi fan in chat, coach in the audience, Dozovich. Dozer, Heavy Machinery. I just got it. These are my guys.
These are my guys. Yeah.
All right.
It's funny because he's bad at his job.
You know what I liked better? The old sitcom coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dauber.
He was Dauber, yeah. Yeah.
Craig T. Nelson. Classic.
Mr. Incredible coming back to the cinema soon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lego The Incredibles coming out soon. You didn't know that?
Oh, video game?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like another movie.
No.
Incredibles 3, this time we're Lego.
Incredibles 1 and 2 in Lego form, nice. And you get to be the family. Anyway. Hey, we found out.
I want to be a family.
We need sad Hulk music.
We need sad Charlie Brown music.
Who would get after us? Lou Ferrigno or Charles Schultz? Oh, well, no, you know what? We should go after Ferrigno because he won't be able to hear it anyway.
That's straight for you, Ferrigno! Sucker!
Classic.
What are we doing?
Classic Mark Donaghy humor, always punching down.
That's me.
Punching down at the Incredible Hulk.
I'm using my height to my advantage. What an ass. We find out next week. I'm actually really interested. We're getting a Bianca Belair special. That's sort of like
like the Roderick
mini doc,
Strong.
Like
the
Roderick
TM61.
Strong. Yeah.
Hey, remember when they did that multi-week TM61 thing and got us like super pumped, and then TM61 just like wasn't back on TV for another month after that?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
And then they came back and they're like...
Hey, remember TM61? All right, we understand.
Yeah. They're like, oh, we're going to make you love them. Ooh, you're going to love them.
Real
and
early.
Then two months later, hey, we're back. Oh, we're losing a bunch. 2 months later. Now we're going to cheat.
Later.
But after this, we finally taking Lou down a peg. That's right, yeah. Sharkazoid.
She's had it too good for too long.
Yes.
Damn it. dude, all right.
We say Lou Ferrig, yes.
All right.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, Bill says that.
Yeah.
Our next match, super wild match between Kairi Sane and Lacey Evans. Holy crap.
This one was ball and shoe ugly, folks.
This is a striker's paradise.
It ruled really hard.
Just those two chops at the top of the match. Big, meaty chops!
And then they were just like stumbling and rumbling and fumbling.
Kairi, when she was like doing
that was incredible. But she had earned that because they were like really wailing on each other.
Oh,
they were beating the piss out of each other. It started off like accidentally beating out the piss out of each other. It was like, oh, well, because it was like. Not everything was like super crisp and clean and like
it
looked like
a fight.
It looked like a fight.
It was a fight.
And that's an example of like, I hate people who are very quick to like be like botch, like the worst.
No.
Worst.
Yeah.
One,
not a fan.
Because one, if you're already willing to like buy into professional wrestling, you're willing to understand that like because these people are athletes and because this is a sport, not everything's gonna look great. And in a real fight, nothing looks great.
MMA is ugly to watch.
Yeah.
Not fun.
I mean, look at the Warriors in the fourth quarter last night if you want to talk about ugly.
Hey!
I don't get it.
R.I.P.
Basketball.
But, you know, it was not your standard, like, everything looks flawless NXT match, but everything looked brutal and vital, and they both looked like they were scrambling for any advantage they could get, you know. Lacey Evans was giving up a ton of experience and knowledge and athleticism and wrestling skill, and Kairi Sane was giving up a ton of everything else. Power, size, weight, strength. So it was a really good mix of their two abilities and their two styles, and they just clobbered the ever-loving crap out of each other.
Yeah, they did.
And what a match and what a finish.
I could not have possibly predicted that this match would have me as enthralled as it did. I was completely taken off guard. This was probably the best match that Lacey Evans has ever had. Mm-hmm. And
well, it's because it's the most competition she's ever had. She's usually like either rolled through some, or at least since the Mae Young Classic, which I think was her last really good match.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. But in any case, it was still surprising. Mm-hmm. I think Lacey Evans is really becoming somebody that you have to watch, especially with what we could really call an upset victory tonight.
Well, last week we were talking about just the setup and the use and the establishment of the very appropriately named women's right.
Mm-hmm.
That I forgot who she was against last week.
Born.
That's right, the sex one. No. It was somebody else.
It was a nobody. We didn't know her, and she.
Oh no, she was a local. She was a local Florida girl.
Sorry, that's right. Not a nobody. Sorry.
No.
Right. But not
a non WWE contract talent.
Yeah.
But this is exactly why they were showing us this finisher. Because with Kairi going up for the insane elbow, whap! Just right in the flipping mush. And just like ragdoll.
Yeah.
It's like when you hit somebody in midair and they just...
That's exactly what happened. Car crash.
It was
great.
Rough.
She pinned her.
Between like NXT and the 205 Live this week, guys, we were really spoiled. There was so much good stuff in these 2 hours. It's really incredible. Hey, you know what? They should do that with, like, SmackDown.
Yeah.
That's right. It was Brandi Lauren, former Impact. Right.
Brandi Lauren.
I heard that Raw's solid viewership premiere. Was very low. That was a surprise. What? I watched it.
Raw's viewership was pretty low this week. But we're not talking about Raw. We're talking about NXT.
Yeah, Raw.
We're not talking about the $1 billion deal over 5 years that SmackDown going to Fox would be next year.
Welcome to Fox. beautiful Fox.
Now commenting on the SmackDown Live's move is Killian Dane.
No, I'm Dar, remember?
Oh, that's right. Alicia Fox. That's right. He's been hurt for too long.
I wish McIntyre was still on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. But he's doing great stuff with Dolph. It's really awesome.
They're doing all right, man. They're doing okay. Yeah. People are not happy to see Dolph, but they are happy to see Drew. So,
hey, Drew, that's a redeeming quality. Hey, Kathy Kelly. We saw a couple of times.
She's dressed in her best goth outfit for today.
What?
Yeah.
Since it's National Goth Day.
Mm-hmm. Dressed in
goth.
But it was the... Mm-hmm. It wasn't
it's
dark.
Her, so it's the best that she has, okay?
She's
okay.
Kathy's doing her best.
She's outside, and she's, like, having a good time, but then she sees, appearing out of the darkness, a wounded Johnny Gargano.
Seriously,
like, and a terrifyingly jacked Candice LeRae.
That's my time to shine.
She sprints over them to try and ask about their bad news.
Yeah.
She's like, wait. She's like, hey,
you
guys.
Look hurt. What's that about?
She's like, hey, guys. Kathy Kelly here. We're having such a good time. Oh, wait. I sensed something horrible.
We're having a great time.
She feeds on their misery.
Kathy, you're the best. We miss you so much.
You really do. I haven't seen you in a minute. But Johnny says that they've come together. They've come to a decision as a team. And they're going to tell the NXT universe.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to blaze through the next couple of things so we can talk about how incompetent Johnny Gargano is. Anyway, 1-2, are you feeling pretty good? They feel like they're the number one contenders. Like
750, blaze it.
Let's do it. It's just right on time.
Wait, what? 650, sorry.
But
year is it?
1-2, we're feeling pretty good.
I slept too long.
Roddy doesn't want to wait until Chicago, so he's going to take on Mr. 2.
Daniel number Birch. Two work for?
Daniel Birch. So I
That's
think
right,
we're going to next
until
week.
Until I turn who's boss.
That's a good line. That's a really good line. So yeah,
Austin Powers is awesome.
Yeah, it is,
watch
it
Austin
is
Powers again. It holds up.
Dude, it's been 20 years.
It's insane.
It's wild. So yeah, it looks like we're getting 1-2 versus Undisputed Era at TakeOver.
Good.
That's great.
That should happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. They pin the tag champs. You get a match with the tag champs.
And you get a match.
Sharkasaur, Kathy, the grim reminder of life's finality, yes. Kelly.
The grim reminder. That's good. That's perfect.
I mean, she doesn't look like a goth, but she really acts like a goth.
That's another thing. So they pinned the tag champs in a six-man match. One of them pinned one of the tag champs, and they've been establishing themselves as getting tag team wins over the past weeks. I love that NXT never, ever, ever, or hardly ever does the thing of, if you can beat me, the champion, in a non-title match, you earn a shot at me, the champion, at the pay-per-view.
It's just established.
The worst. I hate
it. It's just the thing. Oh, well, you pinned him. Yeah, that makes sense. Well,
that's what it is.
I'll never forget. There was a moment that years ago, I still will never forget, when Kofi Kingston beat Randy Orton as the champion. He's like, oh, well, he's the number one contender now. And they never talked about it ever again. He's just, oh, well, he won. Yeah. That was it. It's like, no.
Hope you liked seeing that match.
Yeah. CN that match.
But I lost it. Sorry.
So Lars Sullivan versus Ricochet and Velveteen Dream. Just move on. Moving on. Lars Sullivan versus Ricochet and Velveteen Dream in a handicap match. Pretty flipping cool.
Oh, man. Lars Sullivan, maybe the currently the most dangerous big man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a good number of big men on NXT right now.
One day he and Braun Strowman are going to meet, and it's going to be incredible.
It's gonna be something. Like,
it's gonna be May.
It's gonna be May.
So just, you know, our Undisputed needs to film these spots in a high school bathroom while smoking. But there's a very obvious reason why that can't happen, right, that we can't say on air. That's a really dumb joke. But the teamwork between Ricochet and Velveteen Dream was wild.
Man,
until it wasn't.
This match ruled. Ricochet was wearing his best gear I've ever seen him wear.
Yeah, those white boots were solid.
The tights look great. The boots look great. Obviously, Ricochet and Velveteen Dream are jacked and ripped to an astonishing degree.
Like, Dream doesn't need to flex, but when he did, I was just like,
he did a lat spread and filled the ring.
Be still my draw.
And I filled something else.
I mean, the fan fiction from this tag team match is just going to be unstoppable for a while. This is not going to end.
Yeah. Well, let's not tout them as a tag team just yet.
Well, no. I mean, they function.
Well, no. So here's the thing.
Pretty well.
You called it out when Dream hit the Rolling Senton. Ricochet just went for a tag. You know, they were usually pretty communicative. Mm-hmm. And with the tag, it looked really rough. Mm-hmm. Like, Dream got a lot more of it than he wanted to, which could have hurt him and consequently Lars, but Lars is a monster. So
Lars was grabbing a part of his anatomy that indicated that he was in a lot of pain.
but due to that misstep, that makes sense to me why Dream turned on Ricochet, because he's like, we were flowing so well. Right. And I could have hurt myself really bad. Mm-hmm. But Ricochet, I mean, it was going to be cut and dry until Dream hit a gross rolling senton, or a gross rolling DVD, and then Lars picked him up for the freak accident, and that was it.
That Dream's flipping DVD is flipping awesome.
You take a picture, you raise it, and then you flip it 180 degrees, and you drop it.
You put your thing down, flip it, and reverse it.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get there. Yeah. We're getting there.
Yeah. No, I thought it was interesting.
That's too far.
Dream did not just leave Ricochet to fend for himself against Lars Sullivan. He personally made sure that Ricochet went down. Mm-hmm. He didn't just leave him to the wolves. He completely cut him in half and just said, whatever you want.
Because they had control at that point, and who can say whether they would have actually been able to vanquish Lars Sullivan, but they definitely had him on the ropes.
Well, it's a common thing that the heel in a team, so to speak, it just, you know, that tag comes, and he's just not there for it. Yeah. He was there for it 100%.
This is a different way to do
cut
it.
Cut him in half.
This is a fun way to play with that.
More violent.
Much more in character with Velveteen Dream.
Yeah.
You made me look bad.
Yeah.
And I look amazing.
Mm-hmm. All the time.
Every single
minute. No one makes me look bad.
Well, I mean, that's just a fact. Yeah. Well, a fact of life? Mm-hmm. No.
Different show.
Sorry. We fight, and we get a confirmation that Dakota Kai, Shayna Baszler is next week. Mm-hmm. Kath is with Dakota. Starts really happy.
The grim reminder.
But she, it seems like she's been learning a little bit. She, instead of going like, hey, you're probably feeling pretty scared right now. So like,
hey, how tell me you about been, your anxieties and traumas.
How have you been mentally preparing?
Yeah.
It's a very, very clean way of asking that.
You been doing those Nintendo brain games that test your brain? And then they're like, maybe like a lion jumps out and goes, rah! You have to do it every day, and then it trains you not to be afraid of a lion. Well, that's maybe not a game that Nintendo
then you should make,
make
it
though.
Shayna. It should be actually, Shayna that pops out.
I'm going to go on record, guys. You should be afraid of a lion. You shouldn't have to learn to not be afraid of a lion.
That should just be instinct. It should be born within you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of being born within you, no. Well, they face off. Shane ends up coming up and being like, hey, nerd, dweeb, geek, stuffs her books. And
pushes her under a locker.
Yeah, we have an emotionally unsettled Dakota Kai facing a really big bully.
Mm-hmm. You big bully.
You big meanie. I'm excited to see what happens.
You big Dorcas.
Kathy baited her in with an air of decency before going for the kill.
Yeah. I mean, people are getting hip to her thing now.
Yeah.
Now she's got to go, I'm not going to.
She's got to stick and move. Yeah. Like, I got you a birthday gift. It's your ashes of your dead grandmother.
Oh, God, no.
How does this make you feel?
I went to your childhood home and dug up your pet.
Dig it.
But then there was another thing.
There was a lizard there. So yeah, the final segment of the show was the Garganos coming out and somebody's going, I love you, John. He went,
I love you too.
And it's like, oh, this is gonna be sad. He wasn't wearing like the big like Constructicon neck brace. He was wearing a soft boy brace. Which made me go, that's coming off. Mm-hmm. That's not something I say very often.
I say it all the time.
I saw Johnny Gargano. I took one look at Johnny Gargano and I said,
that's coming off. It's a saying, my body reminds me of a knee smashed my head into that LED board. It's time to start thinking about my future. I have to just ask myself, is it worth it? Let me work it. Put my name down, flip it, and reverse it. I couldn't stop not think
he
of that.
He said it twice.
Exactly.
Like,
it was like one. Like that's honestly one. The my body reminds me of a knee that smashed my head into that LED board.
And then we got the
almost
sad,
an R&B song.
And then a cut to the LED board that's now
the
functional.
Slow push in.
Like there's not a dent in it or anything.
And also that was in New York like 2 years ago,
no, a year ago.
Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Chicago last year.
But it's like, that's easily one of the worst lines I've ever heard. Like, it's up there with the magic beans and suffering succotash. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
But it looked like Candace was like, yep, we talked about this. He's gonna take some time away and really heal up.
I'm gonna keep doing arm day 5 days a week,
dude.
As you should.
There was a card in Cards Against Humanity that would win for me every time, which was Michelle Obama's muscular arms, and I would cross that out and put Candice LeRae's muscular arms and be like, "Yep, that wins." Mm-hmm. But long story short. He goes, yeah, it's worth it! And then he calls out Ciampa, and Candace is legitimately like, what are you doing?
Stop.
We talked about this. The last time you did this, you lost your job, you barely got your job back, and you got hurt again. I'm the breadwinner for this family.
It's like that Breakfast Club / Not Another Teen Movie of the Richard.
That's a great callback.
Yeah.
My mind's telling me no. No, it's my wife's telling me no. My wife's telling me no. So Ciampa comes out. Candace, being a very rational human being, is telling her, you need to stop. Mm-hmm. But then we get a very Kratos-esque boy from Ciampa. That was just like super.
Definitely a Kratos.
So, you know, it's like Gargano calls out the LED board.
That's right. We coming for you,
I
LED
challenge
board.
You.
Candace runs off, grabs a button, which I liked a lot. Runs off and grabs refs and is like, no, you're stopping this now. You're not letting them even get to touch each other.
Should have grabbed a gun.
Trent gun.
it's a stare down, but she ends up doing it to Johnny, and he's like, get out of here, I'll take care of this idiot.
She's like, clonk him on the head with a frying pan for his own good.
Like, drag him away like Wilma.
She's strong enough, she should have just like manhandled him.
Yeah.
She should just take him to the ground room. Like,
seriously,
Candace,
stop!
Candace,
stop!
Get your woman under control!
Yeah.
Sun's getting real low, big guy.
This is pretty good. Be a good little boy and listen to your wife. Yes! Listen to your wife!
For God's sake! You
idiot!
Well, no one listened to his wife.
No. Charges the ring. Ciampa either knocks him or pushes him. Bumps into Candace, and she hits the ramp hard.
He drops all his weight right on top of her.
Yeah, dude, that did not look good.
It was easily the grossest bump that we've seen from either show this week. So.
It was really rough, and now Johnny's like, it's like the Eric Andre meme. Like, how could have Tommaso done that? Why could have Tommaso done this?
I mean, he quietly goes, I think I've gone too far. And
last thing, I don't want Johnny and Candace to be driven further apart from this unless it leads to Candace versus Ciampa.
It's going to lead to Candace versus Johnny at this point. Seriously. I keep telling you not to do this.
We got to run.
Gets divorced, man.
Candace just keeps being the most logical and reasonable person in this feud.
It's like it's turned into a sitcom. You have the dumb husband and the really smart wife who he won't listen to.
And Chomp is Mr. Wilson.
Yeah.
No, Chomp is Dennis the Menace.
Yeah.
Yes. No. Gargano's Dennis the Menace, whereas Chomp is Mr. Wilson.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't know. I'm tired. We're done. Hey.
And Jerry Mathers is the Beef. I'm Beaver Cleavage. You can find me on all social media at Sundown Motel.
I'm on the socials at Baines Destroy. Robert Baines is in 29 Palms for Alpha Omega Wrestling this Sunday, and a lot of people are going to be real unhappy to see him. I'll be very happy to be there.
He's going
to
kill people. I'm Mark Budonica. Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Mark Budonica. Make sure to check out all of the other shows here on AfterBuzz TV NXT Wrestling. What?
NXT.Spreadshirt.
Yeah, go to NXT.Spreadshirt.com. Pick up like Brooklyn took. I stopped making all of the takeover gimmicks because they made them really complicated. But thank you everybody here at AfterBuzz TV for giving us the time and the platform for this madness. And a happy birthday to Maria Annette, who's going to be celebrating her birthday this Monday. Thank you for being such a birthday. It was wonderful to meet you in New York all those years ago. Wow,
you met her?
Yeah,
we did.
And we hope that you celebrate and have a great day. We really appreciate your fandom. We really appreciate. Everybody that joins us live. If you're not joining us live, join us live on AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports on YouTube. Thank you so much for watching this episode. We will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later, boy.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.